Hey, this is Nick Tropiano with the Anaheim Angels, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, Tuesday edition of the show here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, joined right now over the telephone by a great friend of mine and a great friend of the show, Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. He is the host of First Sports and also the Fast Track on the weekend. Steve, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. I appreciate the time today. Thank you.
Looking forward to chatting some baseball with you. Thank goodness we're just a few weeks away from things really kicking off. The boys of summer are back. It'll be a lot of fun this season, I think.
Yeah, we talk about the dog days of summer for sports talk radio, but I think we get so caught up in March Madness and the NBA, and then there's a little bit of downtime with the All-Star break, and then you look at spring training. There's dog days in spring as well, and that's kind of what we've hit right now.
No question about it. Like, you know, we were talking about this off the air. I know that I'm supposed to be, you know, following East Tennessee State. I know I'm supposed to be following Siena, and I just can't. And I for some reason, I just can't get into conference championship weekend until it's the big conferences. And maybe it's just because I'm an elitist, so I don't look at the smaller conference schools, these so-called Cinderella teams. But, like, I'll start thinking about the conference tournaments when the Pac-12, the Big Ten, and the SEC are playing, and the ACC tournaments are in full swing. But I just can't get into, you know, trying to figure out. I didn't know where Florida Gulf Coast Academy was. I still don't, and I still don't care, because I know they're not going to be a legitimate factor in the NCAA tournament. So I kind of wait for March Madness. When it's time to fill out a bracket, then I get involved.
Well, I agree with you, although, you know, we're still a month away from opening day, April 3rd, honestly, for Major League Baseball. Yet, Steve, I know you're just like me. You can't wait. I mean, it's right around the corner. Already, I'm starting to look at season previews and starting to see if anyone can unseat the Cubs and who's going to be the sleeper out of the American League. I mean, is it going to be the Indians? Are the Indians the new Royals? I mean, there's a lot of storylines floating around with Major League Baseball. But first off and foremost, breaking up spring training is the World Baseball Classic. And you and I were having a conversation about this off the air. You also share a similar view with me on this particular situation. I don't care for the World Baseball Classic. Like, I know it's better than spring training, but guess what? That still doesn't get me enthused about it. Like, better than spring training does not stand out to me as far as a headline.
Well, and, you know, we talk about this a lot as it relates to when the Winter Olympics come along every 4 years, and it screws up, you know, the momentum of NHL teams, because you lose guys for 3 weeks. And, yeah, I know that the NHL takes a break during that time traditionally, but it does screw up the momentum. It does screw up what players are doing with their respective teams in the National Hockey League. And I feel like with the World Baseball Classic, I get it. It's a big deal. I get it. It's a promotional tool for Major League Baseball to spread themselves out internationally. But I think it does screw up the momentum that gets built into spring training. Spring training is a thing unto itself, and it's supposed to be an event unto itself. It's supposed to be the time when we're going to find out, like you mentioned, you know, are the Indians a sleeper team? Well, now we don't get to really find that out for 2 weeks, because we get to watch Chinese Taipei play Israel. We get to watch South Korea play Venezuela. And to me, that doesn't help the Major League prospects. That doesn't help me as a Major League Baseball fan get ready for the Major League Baseball season. I'm not interested in these games. They're on at 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't see how that benefits, you know, a Major League Baseball prospect. I don't see how it benefits a manager in trying to figure out whether or not this double A kid is worth bringing up on the opening day roster. I think it also leads to the potential of, you know, setting up pitchers to be in positions that we wouldn't be putting them in the spring training prospect games anyway. So because you want to bring a pitcher along slowly. So I think it does screw up the momentum of Major League Baseball. And I think I understand, again, it's a marketing tool, but I don't necessarily think in the long term it benefits a lot of major league teams who are trying to figure out what their opening day roster is going to be. And I think that's more important than spreading the game out internationally for an audience that is going to watch these games anyway.
Well, let's talk about one individual player that is going to be on the American roster when we talk about the World Baseball Classic. It's Andrew McCutchen. And you talk about a couple of guys, you know, you talk about a killing momentum. And I think it's really simple. There's a list of four players in my mind whose numbers dropped significantly last season. Andrew McCutchen was rumored and a lot of trade rumors throughout the entire offseason. He stays put in Pittsburgh. This is really interesting. I don't know how the World Baseball Classic could actually help somebody like Andrew McCutchen. Maybe it can. I don't know. You're playing competitive baseball outside of spring training. Maybe it's good for his mental capacity where he's going into the season. I just don't know if I would necessarily want Andrew McCutchen playing in this if I'm the general manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Well, especially because it's, you know, this is a make or break year for him. He has to move over to right field now. His relationship with the fans has always been sort of iffy, I guess. You know, he's always been a popular player, but let's face it, this is an important year for him. He needs to show that he can handle the role in right field. He needs to be able to deal with the trade rumors right now. And yeah, he's going to play up this season, but I don't know if this World Baseball Classic helps him. I don't know if it hurts him as far as that's concerned. What if he gets And again, we can ask the same question about insert name of player here. But if he gets hurt, then his trade value is shot, and then he ends up, you know, sitting for a month or 2 months or 3 months at a time. And I don't know if that necessarily helps him. It certainly doesn't benefit the Pirates in any way, shape, or form, who right now are playing very good baseball in spring training. They're sitting, I think, a half game out of first place in the National League right now as far as spring training is concerned. So you want him to be able to fit in with this team. They've got a lot of young players they're trying to build up. Andrew McCutchen is the veteran leader of that clubhouse. He needs to be there. And if he's not there, I don't know if this team benefits from having him play baseball 6,000 miles across the world.
Again, our guest right now is Steve Bortstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico, the host of First Sports. We'll get more on his show in just a moment. So I mentioned a group of players that I'm really interested in watching this year. McCutchen, we just talked about. Bryce Harper is going to get a huge payday. That's coming up. All eyes are going to be on him throughout the entire season. Jason Hayward, there was a lot made out of him making the jump from St. Louis to Chicago. He was not good last year. And then, of course, there's that guy in Los Angeles that seems to always be in the headlines, in Yasiel Puig. So out of those four names, in your mind, who has the best season and who has to have the best season?
Well, clearly who has to have the best season is Yasiel Puig. I mean, if you want to talk about a make or break year, all eyes are going to be on Yasiel. You'd like to think maybe there was some humblingness, there was some humility that was instilled into him when he got shipped in and got sent down last year to the minor leagues. But then we didn't see much of that. You know, we didn't see a whole lot of productivity from him in the postseason. So maybe fresh start, another opportunity, new manager in play here. Maybe some instilled confidence, maybe the team showing that they're giving him another opportunity, but they didn't get rid of anyone in the offseason to make him think that spot was his alone. The Dodgers still keep Andre Ethier. They still keep their rotation of outfielders here. So, you know, so if he gets off to a slow start, we're right back to square one with him again, where he's going to get benched and he's going to pout and then he's going to not be productive. And then you have to go through this whole thing again here. So I need him to show something, not even necessarily an improved effort, but an improved awareness of just where he is right now, because this is the make or break year for him. And I have a bad feeling that if the Dodgers are going to do well, he has to do well. He knows that. And I don't know how well he handles that kind of pressure. And I don't know if even he cares at this point.
You know, I really think...
As far as who's going to have the best, Bryce Harper. I mean, let's face it. He knows all eyes are on him, and I'm sorry I paused there for a moment. Bryce Harper, to me, is the guy who, because of the contract and because of the enormity of the contract, you're right, all eyes are going to be on him. And I don't think he falters this year. I think this is going to be another solid year for Bryce Harper. I think he's the guy who's going to have that another, you know, breakout season, another big season where we just are marveling at what he's been able to do so far. So I think for him, I think the sky's the limit for Bryce Harper this year.
Well, he's definitely going to be an interesting player to watch. I'll tell you, by the time 2019 hits, I don't know if this guy is wearing a Washington Nationals uniform.
Oh, I don't believe he will be. I don't believe he will be. I think because that team has shown sort of a willingness to spend in pieces. They don't spend big, and let's face it, we know that there are teams that are going to spend big. We know the Red Sox, we know the Yankees are going to spend big. I don't think he'll be in a Washington Nationals jersey so in 2019. So clearly 2017, 2018, those are going to be the years that if you're going to get this done in Washington, much the same thing like we talked about with Pittsburgh with Andrew McCutchen. You know, this is the year for them because their window is closing. If they're going to be a contender, it's Nationals and it's Pirates that they need these productive productive years from these guys right now, because these guys are not going to be around in those same uniforms in a couple of seasons.
Steve, I know we always get together before the start of the season and we preview both the American League and National League, so I'll save some of the chit-chat for that show or that segment, which will be coming up here in the next few weeks. But I got to get your take on the Cleveland Indians. Are they the new Kansas City Royals?
Ooh, wow. Yeah, I think so. I mean, everything seems to indicate right now that, you know, this is the year for them, and it's always the same thing. I think they're going to be tested. I think there's obviously a lot of high expectations right now. But again, you go back to the, you know, World Baseball Classic. They're missing a couple of key players right now, you know, because of the World Baseball Classic. I think it's going to be very interesting how Francisco Lindor does and how Jose Ramirez does this year. Those guys are going to be key to them. Carlos Carrasco, $22 million. If he stays healthy, if Carlos Carrasco can stay healthy this season, that's going to be a huge plus for them. Plus, they can, by only getting him at $22 million, which that seems absurd that we're saying only $22 million, but that's a huge boom for them. If they can get productivity from that guy right there, it's a huge deal for the Cleveland Indians going forward.
I know Cub fans don't like it when I say this, but I'm just being honest. If Salazar and Carrasco do not go down with late injuries last season, odds are we're talking about the Cleveland Indians as World Series champs. Let's just be honest.
Oh, yeah. No. And Cubs fans hate to hear that, but it's absolutely true. And I think it'll be interesting with the Cubs. Like, you know, they were the darling story last year. And they're always the darling story. The lovable has-beens, the lovable, oh, we can't get to the World Series. And now the target on their back is going to be so enormous this year. But you're right. The Cleveland Indians were literally an out away, you know, from being the World Series champions. But you know, you can go back to those injuries. You pointed them out a moment ago. You know, if those guys don't go down with injuries, we're talking about the Cleveland Indians, you know, as a likely repeat world champion, because they're that team right now. But, you know, it's so funny how one little kink in the armor is what derails a team. And you go back to Carlos Carrasco. You can go back to a number of players, you know, on this team or that team. One little kink in the armor just throws everything off kilter. But I think the Cleveland Indians, you know, you need another big performance from Michael Brantley. You know, you need another big season from him. The shoulder surgery that he had, you know, hopefully the recovery from that's going to be okay. And if that happens, then they're the team to beat again in the American League.
Well, you speak about injuries, and I mean, this right here is a true testament. This is why it's going to be so difficult for the Cubs to repeat this year. The Cubs became the first team last season since the Reds in 2012 to have four pitchers make at least 30 starts in consecutive seasons. And really, when you look at this rotation front to back, John Lester's 33, 34 years old. Jake Arrieta is going to be 30, 31. I mean, these guys have made upwards of 80 starts over the last two seasons, Steve. It's tough for you to maintain this type of health, to stay healthy, to stay off of that DL for long periods of times. I mean, again, the Indians were bitten by the injury bug last season. It just doesn't seem logical to say the Cubs are going to be able to maintain it throughout their pitching rotation for another season. Just doesn't seem logical to me.
Yeah, and you mentioned the ages, and that's the key factor for these guys going forward here. You know, I mean, look, there was a magical postseason run, but everything works out, and you can't count on that. You just can't depend on that. So this is that time of year now where you need to have some arms that are ready to come up here. You have to play into consideration Aroldis Chapman going back to New York now. How big a factor is that going to be going forward? Because let's face it, the Cubs got extremely lucky the way things worked out in the World Series with Aroldis Chapman. He's not there anymore, so now you got to find that arm to replace that. You have to find individual pieces to fill in these roles. And it's great that, you know, Chapman was there for the time they needed him there. But, you know, Joe Maddon has been able to work out a lot of magic in the years past, and he certainly did it, you know, this past season. But do they have that magic again this year? And now with the added pressure of them being the team with the target on their back, how do they respond to that?
Yeah, we just ad-libbed baseball for 15 minutes here on the show. Great stuff as always, Steve. Before I let you go, I want you to go ahead and let the listeners know more about your work.
Oh, wow. First Sports every weekday morning, 7 to 10 a.m. And we were talking about the dog days of summer here and dog days of spring. We're fighting through them ourselves right now, but a lot of college basketball on the agenda, a lot of NFL talk with obviously now the free agent market opening up this week. So First Sports in the Morning, it airs this 9 a.m. to noon Eastern, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Mountain Time. You can catch it on iHeartRadio through our app at FoxSports1340.com. And then, of course, like you, we also, I work 7 days a week also, doing a horse racing show on Saturday and Sunday mornings called The Fast Track. For those of you who like the horses and like to bet the ponies, you can check out The Fast Track also on the iHeartRadio app, 10 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Mountain Time. You can catch it also on the iHeartRadio app at our website, again, FoxSports1340.com. And make sure to follow me on Twitter at Fox1340AM.
Steve, always a pleasure to get you on. I appreciate the time again today. We'll do it again soon.
Looking forward to it, my friend. Thank you, sir.
We got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.